The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
A man with a knife cannot silence a man with a pen.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. New York Governor Kathy Hochul vowing that Friday's attack on author Salman Rushdie at the Chautauqua Institution won't be allowed to intimidate freedom of expression. Rushdie's agent says the 75-year-old British Indian author is no longer on a ventilator and is able to speak. The author was stabbed 10 times in the neck, stomach, eye, chest, and thigh as he prepared to speak at Chautauqua. The attack stunned longtime Chautauqua attendees like David Johnson.
It was a surreal thing. I've been coming here for 31 years, and this is one of the most peaceful, quiet places I've ever been in my life.
The event's moderator, Henry Reese, on the chaotic moments that ensued and why he first thought the attack was a prank.
Didn't quite believe or didn't understand that it was anything more than that initially until I saw blood. And after that, you realize this is real.
Hochul says the incident flies in the face of Chautauqua's long record of peaceful exchange of ideas.
New York State will always stand up to protect freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and we condemn the cowardly attack on Salman Rushdie.
Rushdie's alleged attacker, Hadi Matar, pled not guilty to attempted murder charges on Saturday and is being held without bail. Rushdie has been a marked man for decades after release of his critically acclaimed book, The Satanic Verses, was declared blasphemous by many Muslims. In 1989, Iran's Ruhollah Khomeini called for the author's assassination.
Iran's government has denied any involvement in Friday's attack, but calls the attack justified. Iran's state-run media reported that Rushdie might lose an eye from Friday's stabbing, adding, quote, an eye of Satan has been blinded.
CBS's Vicky Barker. The FBI says it's investigating several threats against bureau personnel and property 1 week after agents searched former President Trump's Florida home at Mar-a-Lago. There's been plenty of rhetoric pro and con the embattled agency on Capitol Hill. New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik.
The FBI raid of President Trump is a complete abuse and overreach of its authority.
Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar condemns the anti-FBI comments.
The Republican Party used to stand with law enforcement, and I hope some of them do today, because this kind of rhetoric is very dangerous to our country.
South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds emphasized urgency in the Senate Intelligence Committee, asking for a national security damage assessment and for the Justice Department to provide the documents seized.
It's very important long term for the Justice Department, now that they've done this, that they show that this was not just a fishing expedition.
The FBI has issued a warning for agents to be extra vigilant, saying that their families could be at risk. The Secret Service is also hardening security at several locations, including the White House. The 42-year-old Navy veteran who was shot and killed by police after attempting to breach the FBI field office in Cincinnati, Ohio last week was a native of Perry County, Pennsylvania. WHP-TV in Harrisburg reports Ricky Schiffer graduated from West Perry High School in 1998, then enlisted in the Navy, where he served in Iraq before being honorably discharged in 2011. Schiffer did not maintain a residence in PA after joining the Navy. Overseas now, today marks 1 year since America's chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. The anniversary marked in Kabul by both Taliban celebrations and protests by women angry over repressions directed against them.
There was a complete lack and a failure to plan. There was no plan, and there was no plan executed.
That's Texas Representative Michael McCaul appearing on CBS's Face the Nation. In a new report, the Republican says the failure to evacuate around 74,000 Afghan people who worked with the U.S. was one of many sins of the abrupt withdrawal from the country last year. Fox News' Alexandria Hoff with a response to that from the White House.
Quote, this partisan report is riddled with inaccurate characterizations, cherry-picked information, and false claims. We fundamentally disagree with those who advocated for mirroring the United States fighting men and women in an indefinite war with no exit strategy.
However, McCaul says the State Department didn't have the capability to carry out a large-scale evacuation, adding that the worst part of the entire story is the women left behind in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. Five Americans, among at least eight people, hurt following a shooting attack outside Jerusalem's Old City. Menachem Palace was visiting Israel when he wound up in the middle of it all.
I heard a gunshot, and I looked, and I saw the window, like, shattered. So I quickly ducked, and I saw I had, blood everywhere over here.
The leader of Hamas, a Palestinian militant group, praised the bus shooting as fighting continues between Palestinians and Israelis.
Today, this operation confirms that the Palestinian people continue on the path of resistance, he said.
The U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem condemned the killings. A new COVID vaccine that targets the original virus and the Omicron variant has been approved in Britain. It's from Moderna, and health regulators have given their blessing to it.
That gives us the confidence that this truly can work against the Omicron strain.
Adults could get it as a booster shot this fall. One top official called the new shot, quote, a sharpened tool in our armory. Actress Anne Heche, dead at the age of 53 after being taken off life support Sunday.
Heche suffered a traumatic brain injury as a result of crashing her car into a Los Angeles home earlier this month. Police have said Heche had drugs in her system at the time of the crash. After being declared brain dead last week, the actress was kept on life support for a few days so her organs could be donated. I'm Trey Thomas.
This could be a day of political reckoning for Republican Liz Cheney of Wyoming.
Political experts here in Wyoming say the numbers just don't add up for Liz Cheney right now. So many Republicans who have voted for her in the past are going to vote against her this time that she just is not going to be able to overcome it unless there is a major, major shift at the last moment.
CBS's Steve Futterman. Still to come on the Noon Report, the latest on a double tragedy in the Berwick, Pennsylvania community. John Fetterman's close call recounted, and a Pennsylvania Little League team makes it to the big show.
Good afternoon. Our area in some cases is very parched, and some beneficial showers are in the forecast. The details are coming up in 10.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin Williams. Now checking stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania.
2nd Street, Berwick, I have a car into a crowd of people possibly.
That was the radio call summoning first responders to the scene of another deadly tragedy in the area of Berwick, Pennsylvania. A suspect is in custody for two separate incidents over the weekend that left two dead and 17 injured. Pennsylvania State Trooper Anthony Petrosky III addressed an already heartbroken community facing even more grief after a man plowed his car into a crowd gathered at a fundraiser on Saturday.
This is a complete tragedy in a community where there's already been tragedy.
The Pennsylvania State Police say 24-year-old Adrian Reyes has been arrested for driving his car into that crowd of people who were holding a benefit in support for families who lost loved ones in a house fire, killing 10 people in the next town over less than a week ago. The car crash tragedy took the life of a 50-year-old woman. Police say the suspect then drove about a mile away, ran down his mother, and repeatedly beat her with a hammer. Reyes says has been charged with two counts of murder, and police have yet to release any information about his motives. Funerals were held on Sunday for the victims of the house fire. This community resident remembers her friend and volunteer firefighter Dale Baker as a hero after losing his life in the initial house fire tragedy.
He is a really good friend. He was always there for people and also me.
Another resident among many searching for answers after the twin tragedies.
I can't make sense of it. I don't know why it's going on.
Now to Pennsylvania's campaign trail, Senate candidate John Fetterman acknowledging he was lucky to be alive as he officially returned to campaigning more than 90 days after the Democrat suffered a stroke that threatened his life and political prospects in one of the nation's premier Senate contests. Fetterman spoke for nearly 11 minutes, haltingly at times, as he addressed several hundred voters packed into an convention center on the shores of Lake Erie. Representative Brian Fitzpatrick says he was notified by the FBI recently that his life was in danger by some of these same people, unquote, threatening agents following a raid on former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence.
We're the world's oldest democracy, and the only way that can come unraveled is if we have disrespect for our institutions that lead to Americans turning on American.
Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, the Pennsylvania Republican and former FBI agent said he was very concerned about the safety of law enforcement officers. He went on to say that his colleagues, as well as the former president, need to mind the weight of their words. A critical link to hundreds of miles of trails and economic development is about to be completed in western Pennsylvania. That story from Family Life's Brian Query.
Armstrong County has purchased an old railroad bridge and 14 miles of former railroad line with plans to convert it into biking and hiking trails. The purchase was made possible after the county secured a $3.5 million grant from the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission and PennDOT. The trail and bridge will be developed in the next 2 years and maintained by Armstrong Trails. The railroad bridge is a crucial link link that will connect 130 plus miles of continuous off-road ADA compliant trails in several western Pennsylvania counties, along with connecting to other trails, including the Erie to Pittsburgh Trail. Local officials are hoping the trail addition will mean good news for tourism and local business, with some local leaders calling this the largest trail acquisition in decades in the area. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brian. Empire State now, with the number of drug overdoses rising across New York each day, actions being taken to try and save people's lives. Starting today, naloxone can be dispensed at pharmacies throughout New York State without a prescription under an order issued by State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett. Naloxone is used to block the effects of opioids and helps a person regain consciousness and resume regular breathing if they have overdosed. Fair warning to Leadfoots. Police throughout New York State are about to crack down on speeders this week.
This is Speed Awareness Week, where law enforcement agencies throughout the state will be taking part in a speed enforcement campaign. Last year's crackdown resulted in more than 23,000 speeding tickets and more than 32,000 summonses for other traffic law infractions. A study shows unsafe speed was a factor in 353 deadly crashes last year in the state, an 11% increase from the prior year. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
New York Senator Chuck Schumer says the spotted lanternfly has reached infestation levels in upstate New York, threatening grapes and other key crops, potentially costing the state's agriculture industry millions of dollars.
They feed on the sap of more than 70 plant species. They're known to quickly overworm vineyards, they kill the grapevines, and they go after our fruit trees.
The Democrat is calling for the federal government to help New York's integrated pest management program combat the invasive species. Binghamton's closer to funding a statue to honor arguably its most famous resident, Twilight Zone creator Rod Serling.
There's been an effort underway for several years to raise money to put a statue to Rod Serling in Recreation Park. He lived in the neighborhood. He rode on this carousel. He visited the gazebo.
Assemblywoman Donna Lopardo, speaking with WBNG at a news conference in the park, announcing the securing of a $50,000 grant, leaving just $25,000 to go in the fundraising effort. Nick Parisi is president of the Rod Serling Memorial Foundation.
We have a marker in front of his high school that recognizes that he was a graduate of Binghamton High School, but nothing like a statue, and nothing as significant as a statue, so this is a big deal.
Parisi hopes the statue will be completed by sometime next year. And back to PA, it was a day at the beach for volunteers who descended on Erie's popular Presque Isle Park for a beach cleanup yesterday.
It is a very important asset to the community, and we just want to keep it that way.
Event organizer Jeff McCullough spoke to Erie News Now. So what did they find people leaving behind?
The biggest item we see, I think, are cigarette butts and just plastics of any sort, like hand-sized plastic stuff, plastic bottles, plastic bottle rings, caps, things that people may not be aware that they're leaving behind.
Volunteers say an encouraging sign is that they didn't need as many trash bags this time around as they have in the past. And it'll be a short but sweet road trip for one team headed to Williamsport for the Little League World Series.
Back up the middle and put it, but a time ago. And for the 35th time, a team from Pennsylvania is going to the Little League World Series.
ESPN with the call as the Hollidaysburg Tigers out of Blair County knocked off a team from Delaware this weekend to advance to the Little League World Series in Williamsport. And that appropriately brings us to a check of sports.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Mark, the New York Mets got five scoreless innings from Chris Bassett yesterday, and then the bullpen continued the trend, not giving up a run the rest of the way as the Amazons down the Phillies 6-0. Daniel Vogelbeck hit a home run in the win. The Giants beat the Pirates on a walk-off home run from Thero Estrada in the bottom of the ninth, 8-7, your final. Albert Pujols turned back the clock in St. Louis, hitting two home runs against the Brewers. Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson also went deep as the Cards took the rubber game of their series with Milwaukee, 6-3, your final. For Pujols, it was his 63rd multi-homer game, tying him with Willie Mays for fifth place all time. He now has 689 career home runs, putting him 7 behind A-Rod for fourth place. The Padres shut out Washington 6-0. The Braves were 3-1 winners over Miami. Cincinnati 8, Chicago 5, and Arizona came away from Colorado with a 7-4 victory. The Yankees continue to stumble as they managed only two hits in their 3-0 loss to Boston. Michael Wacha tossed 7 shutout innings. Rafael Devers hit a 2-run home run for the Red Sox. Other winners in the American League: Cleveland, Tampa Bay, the White Sox, Houston, Texas, and the Angels. Kansas City snapped the Dodgers' 12-game winning streak in the interleague contest, beating L.A. 4-0. To NASCAR, Kevin Harvick has gone back-to-back with wins as he took the checkered flag for the second straight weekend, this time in Richmond at the Auto Parts 400. Christopher Bell was second, and Chris Buescher finished third. That is a look at sports.
All right, thank you very much, sir. Still to come on the Noon Report, we'll recap the Salman Rushdie attack in Western New York, an unhappy anniversary in Afghanistan, and it's a good day to relax.
The church is essential, whether you think so or not. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Recently, the Colson Center announced an upcoming Breakpoint short course entitled The Essential Church, Why Christians and the World Still Need the Church. Well, the responses we've received just to that title reveal a lot about where people are in regards to the church. Dear John, what is the church for? Well, it used to be the body of Christ and the bride of Christ being conformed into his image. They were to love one another, but despise is closer. What's the church for? I have no clue anymore, wrote one of our listeners. Another said, the nut jobs and con artists have run people away. Get rid of them and maybe people might come back. And then another, what is the church for? To psychologically abuse people, particularly children, with indoctrination into its religion of fear, all caps. Well, some critiques that people have of the church are really nothing more than personal grievances that they've elevated into blanket condemnations. Some critics didn't appreciate, for example, learning the truth about their behavior, their beliefs, or their lifestyles, and so they then chose those over Christ. But of course, others have more legitimate complaints. Christians have not been there for them at crucial points in their lives and families. And far too often, the church has a reputation for imitating the world in its worst depravities. While there are times, like for example now, that church scandals just seem to be adding up, a recent joke turned meme on social media notes that, at least historically speaking, this set of complaints are not really new. There are two kinds of Paul's epistles to the early church, the meme goes. One is, I always thank God for you and his unsearchable blessings in Christ. And the other is, why can't you sick weirdos just be normal for a minute? A great hymn of the 19th century tells a similar story. And the church's one foundation, Samuel John Stone, proclaims Christ to be the security and the preserver of his bride, despite its obvious brokenness. This verse in particular speaks volumes. Though with scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Despite the painful reality of sin's enduring power in its members, the church is essential, not only for Christians, but for the entire world. See, despite all of these critiques, and we could add so many more, Christians have to see the church as essential for one simple reason. Christ does. Jesus didn't call us to merely embrace a set of theological proofs and to wait for the end of the world. To be a Christian is not just to believe in him for personal forgiveness and a sense of meaning and then to live a moral life. When Christ saves us, he saves us into a movement, into his body, into his redeemed people. Now, because of this and the current confusion about the church, we invite you to ponder with us what it means that the church is essential, especially now when it does not always seem as if it is. So for a gift of any amount this month, you can join an online short course hosted by our theologian in residence, Dr. Tim Padgett. And it will include thought leaders like Colin Hansen and Dr. Peter Lighthart. To give and to register for this course, The Essential Church, go to colsoncenter.org/August, colsoncenter.org/August. After describing the church's obvious faults, Stone then, in the very next verse of the church's one foundation, proclaims this: the church shall never perish, her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish, is with her to the end. Though there be those that hate her and false sons in her pale, against a foe or traitor, she ever shall prevail. And all God's people said, Amen. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, clouds, mixed sunshine, a couple of scattered showers, and a rumble or two of thunder in the mix. High temperature 70s to near 80. For tonight, an early shower, some clouds overnight, low temps 50s to near 60. Tomorrow and Wednesday, considerable cloudiness. A few showers around, a rumble or two of thunder as well, with high temperatures in the 70s to near 80.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin Williams. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm Mark Webster. Thanks again for joining us. Recapping the top stories of this day, 75-year-old author Salman Rushdie said to be improving after being taken off of a ventilator after being seriously injured in a stabbing attack Friday at Western New York's Chautauqua Institution shortly before he was to speak there. His alleged attacker, 24-year-old Hadi Matar from New Jersey, being held without bail after pleading not guilty to attempted murder and assault charges. The event's moderator, Henry Reese, initially thought the altercation was just a prank.
Didn't quite believe or didn't understand that it was anything more than that initially until I saw blood. And after that, you realize this is real.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul, among many, expressing support for Rushdie.
And I want it out there that a man with a knife cannot silence a man with a pen.
Iran is claiming no involvement in this attack. An Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said Iran does not consider that anyone deserves blame and accusations except Rushdie and his supporters. Some decades ago, Iran's religious leader issued a fatwa calling for Rushdie's assassination. The FBI is investigating threats against bureau personnel and property 1 week after agents searched former President Trump's Florida home at Mar-a-Lago, igniting more anti-FBI rhetoric online and on Capitol Hill. California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff, on former President Trump's attorney, signing a statement asserting all classified material had been returned months earlier.
If the Trump people represented that they provided all the classified or national security information and didn't, that's a serious problem.
Former National Security Advisor John Bolton.
It would have to be documented what they were, each document, so that people would know what had been declassified.
In a posting this weekend, Trump pointed to what he sees as a, quote, great simmering anger in the country over the FBI's actions. Today marks 1 year since the Taliban took over Kabul. NBC's Kelly Kobiaya with more on that.
A year ago today, thousands desperately tried to escape as the Taliban encircled the capital, fighting to get on the last flights out of the country, handing over their children, many terrified they would be hunted down for working with the U.S.
Hundreds of Kabul residents rushed to the new Kabul bank to withdraw their life savings before fleeing. Americans were evacuated by helicopter from the U.S. embassy. To date, at least 800 more Americans have been evacuated since the takeover. A new report suggests the Biden administration bungled the evacuation. Republican Congressman Mike McCall of Texas says the report show how in the days leading up to the withdrawal, the Biden administration ignored repeated warnings.
And they did so not only our detriment, but to the Afghan partners that worked with us against the Taliban, 100,000 of them left behind now.
The report blames a lack of consular officers available for processing people at the Kabul airport. And you're feeling a little lazy? Today's your opportunity to sit back and relax.
Rest. Recoup. Rejuvenate.
That's the premise behind today, August 15th, National Relaxation Day. Experts have proven that there is such a thing as working yourself to death. Too much work can make you sick, run down, tired, impact your immune system. So, as most doctors will agree, even just a couple of minutes of focused, slow breathing can improve focus, concentration, improve your mood, relieve stress, and ultimately, when practiced routinely, reduce illness risks. Relaxing can keep you healthy and living longer. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
Don't doze off. Yes, you're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to Faith Foundations. Every Monday, we'll look to answer some of the questions Christians have in their walk with the Lord. Today, we talk with Dr. Richard Blackaby of Blackaby Ministries International in Georgia. Give us some of the highlights of ways in which we can truly have that close, intimate relationship with our Creator.
Well, two things I would say about that. One is just that one of the most profound teachings in experiencing God is that God is always at work around you. And you have to start there. There's a lot of people who assume that God isn't doing anything at their workplace or in their family or in their personal life. And so they're not even really looking. And they wouldn't even know what to look for if they were. So that's been revolutionary for many, many people. Many churches have said, we had no idea all that God was doing until we started looking, and suddenly, everywhere we looked, there he was, and we were able to join him. And the other thing about experiencing God is that it's just revolutionized a lot of people's walk with God, is the whole concept that God desires an intimate, interactive, vibrant walk with us. Far, far too many people have gone to church all their lives and they think that they just meet with God on Sundays at church when they sing a few songs about him and then listen to a sermon. But no one ever taught them that moment by moment throughout their day, as they go to work or school or they're in their home, that God is constantly desiring to interact with them, to guide them, to show his love to them. And again, once you begin to recognize that that's what he's trying to do, you suddenly see him involved in your life in many different ways, and it becomes very exciting. People have just said, suddenly my whole life's an adventure. Every morning I'm getting up and I just see God at work. I see God interacting, expressing his love to me, and it's just a wonderful, joyful experience of walking through the day with God.
What would you offer as far as advice for those people that might be out there that are struggling to understand his will or who God truly is, to help clarify some of those things for them?
Well, who God is what God does. So if you don't know who he is, you're going to be constantly disappointed or confused by what he does, because you're going to think he acts one way, and you're going to be looking in the wrong places. You're going to misunderstand what he's trying to do. But when you get to know him, then all of a sudden his actions make perfect sense. So there's a lot of teaching and preaching and music these days that don't really represent God as he truly is. And it really belongs to us, our responsibility, to be in the scriptures, to see him, to study him, and to just see how he presents himself. God is constantly being misrepresented, even at times by the church. So go to the scripture yourself, go to God himself, and let him reveal himself. And there's so many examples, some very common ones, like, you know, if you people have had maybe a bad experience with their earthly father, and so every time they see God the Father in the Bible, they bring all that baggage with them. And that's just totally the wrong picture. God's a perfect father. He's a loving father. He never disappoints. He never hurts you. He never disappoints you. But you can't take your baggage with you to God, otherwise you won't know him as he really is. You have to start with God, and then he can help shed light on all of your other earthly relationships. But don't start with what you know and then try to understand God, because he is far greater than anything you've ever experienced before.
You touch on such a great point there. I was actually speaking with a fellow Christian the other day that said that, you know, she was raised in a household where God was the ultimate disciplinarian, but there wasn't much on the love aspect of things. It was just, here's all these rules and regulations, and here's the bad things that are going to happen if you don't follow those, and nothing of the good of the rest of God's character. Maybe somebody has had that in their household, or as you had mentioned and you touched on, maybe just not a good earthly father figure. What would you say to help people navigate one or both of those situations?
God is so complex. He's so infinite. He's so multidimensional that our problem is we can't comprehend that. We can't take it in. So we tend just to latch on to just one or two attributes, and we skew who God is. So, I mean, God does have expectations of us, but he's also infinitely loving. He's infinitely gracious and compassionate. And our problem is, if you just pick out one aspect of God, then you throw everything out of sync. And I'd say you got to put all of those together. He is loving. He is just. He's righteous. He's patient. He's gracious. You put all those together, and that's hard for us, because we're always wanting to simplify. We always want to put someone in a box and say, well, he's just concerned about rules. And I'd say there's so much more to God than that. Most of us have limited God in some way by just not taking in all that he is, zeroing in on just one or two traits, and even those not really giving him justice for. So I tell you, we'll spend our whole life trying to grasp somehow how awesome God is. But if you're struggling with God, if you're disappointed with God, then I would say it's not because of God, it's because you don't understand God. If you truly knew him, you'd be overwhelmed with awe and love for who God is.
That's Dr. Richard Blackaby of Blackaby Ministries International in Georgia, our guest today on Faith Foundations, which airs every Monday as we look to answer some of the questions Christians have in their walk with the Lord.
Thanks, Brandon. Faith Foundations airs Monday during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Just ahead, always read the fine print, especially when you're buying a house.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast after a lovely weekend. We have some unsettled weather ahead this week, a rather unsettled weather pattern, including low pressure to the south, a front from the north, will combine to bring actually some beneficial showers to our parched lands in the days ahead. Hit and miss, though, for a while. The call for this afternoon, clouds, mixed sunshine, a couple of scattered showers, and a rumble or two of thunder in the mix. High temperatures, 70s to near 80. For tonight, an early shower, some clouds overnight, low temps, 50s to near 60. Tomorrow and Wednesday, considerable cloudiness. A few showers around, a rumble or two of thunder as well, with high temperatures in the 70s to near 80.
Sounds good, Kevin. All right, finally at noon, one Nevada homebuyer got much more than she paid for, or so she thought. We get that story from Family Life's Brian Query.
Anyone who has ever typed anything has probably used copy and paste to duplicate information. Well, that very process in one recent real estate transaction led to a Nevada homebuyer getting a little more than she planned. A buyer was purchasing a single home in Sparks, Nevada, but an error in the documents led her to get 84 extra lots and two additional parcels. The properties included home sites that have already been built on and sold. Get this. It turns out the error was caused by a simple copy and paste mistake. It appears the title company copied and pasted a legal description from another transaction when preparing the new deed. The transaction was flagged and is being corrected, but apparently these errors happen all the time. So only one home for the buyer, and this is one error they're hoping not to see duplicated. Brian Query, Family Life News.
And we're probably better off when cut and paste involved actual paste. That's the world we live in for Monday, August 15th, 2022. As always, thank you very much for listening. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.